Welcome to the Healing Happens podcast with your host, Avital Miller, designed to bring you insight and inspiration from health and healing experts to overcome seemingly insurmountable challenges. From former program manager at Microsoft to author, international keynote speaker, global dancer, and healing breakthrough facilitator, my goal is to inspire boundless energy, absolute happiness, and true success so you can live the best life possible. Enhance the power to heal yourself through natural healing techniques and through gaining awareness in order to comfortably, energetically, and joyfully live your passions. Hello, thank you so much for tuning in. This is Maureen Bell visiting us today. She is a traditional shaman, intuitive, feng shui, and gaiamansi master, world-renowned author, green living and architectural building consultant for over three decades. But none of those titles prepared her for the diagnosis of stage 4 terminal non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and a tumor on her pancreas 10 years ago. So we're going to hear about that story and about her having what is known as a near-death experience. And since then, she's been on a mission to help people with what she discovered to get rid of any destructive beliefs and to be a steward for our planet, to be in the best potential, and for us also to have a great relationship with our own bodies. And one of the things that she has also done is started the International Association for Near-Death Studies, a group in Portland. So welcome, Maureen. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah. And, you know, I find it interesting that you were already involved in a lot of healing modalities before you had your experience with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I was a yoga and fitness instructor when I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism. And most people would think that I was perfectly healthy and something like that shouldn't happen. So there was a lot to learn. There's a deeper message behind that. Would you share your entire experience of what life was like before, what the experience was of going through this, and how you think you healed and what you learned?
Absolutely. So in 2006, I was conducting classes all over the world for green design and feng shui. I had previously had a school in shamanism and permaculture where I taught connecting to the earth. And so in 2006, I was working on my own project. It was a building project on Whidbey Island, and I wasn't feeling well, and I overwrote it. So, you know, with all this background experience and healing modality, and I'm a theta healer, I'm a Reiki master, all of these things, it did not prepare me for the diagnosis. So I was getting weaker and weaker, and I was in serious denial because it's like, oh my gosh, I eat organic, I eat healthy, I exercise, you know, I'm a good person.
Yeah.
You know, how could this be happening? And they hadn't been able to diagnose it. They were taking blood tests and things were off, but they weren't quite sure what was going on. And I was getting severely anemic, which was a huge sign. Mm-hmm. And I also developed shingles, which is another sign. But but I was also in denial, and I had to finish this project. I had this just compelling desire. So before the project was finished, I ended up, a friend came over and she said, I'm taking you into the hospital. And so they took me in and they did blood tests and they came back with cancer. And so that I then was enveloped by the allopathic world. So I was then sent to a hematologist and oncologist, and they did exploratory surgery because they did a CAT scan. They saw a tumor and it was attached to my pancreas. And I had lymph nodes from my neck to my groin involved. And so the doctor took me aside and he said, get your affairs in order. I'm sorry, but you're stage four. Oh, and they had done bone marrow tests, and the second one showed cancer cells in the bone marrow. Mm-hmm. So he said, I'm sorry, you know. So my sister, then I was on Whidbey Island and going to a hospital in Everett. My sister came up, bundled me up, and took me back to her home to die because, you know, I told everyone what had happened. Mm-hmm. And I bought into it. And it's like, how could I buy into it with mm-hmm. all the experiences I had? So mm-hmm. Proceeding on, I was then admitted into UC Davis and, you know, started cancer treatment. And they said, you know, we'll do this, but just don't figure there's any hope. And I was put in with a terminal group. There was all of us who were terminal mm-hmm. together. And so months went by and I was getting chemotherapy and, oh, you know, having surgeries, you know, for to try and see if they could remove the tumor. And it was totally, they were unable. It was, so they just said, okay, I'm sorry, prepare yourself and die. So I proceeded to do that. And my sister took care of me. Mm-hmm. So this was in September. Mm-hmm. By Christmas and January, I was 85 pounds. I was on hospice. I was hooked up to morphine and oxycodone for the pain. I hadn't eaten in months. I was wasting away, literally wasting away.
Yeah.
And my son, it's
Harrison, how tall are you?
I'm 5'5", and I was 85 pounds. I was a walking skeleton. I was literally a walking skeleton. And I had a Reiki master who used to come and do massages for me, and I had acupuncture, and they would literally pick me up and put me places. I was that small. I mean, I was that thin. So my son came to visit, and to say goodbye and to give my sister a break. And he came into the room, and I was on meds, and I couldn't speak very much. I was so weak that I had a baby monitor. And so he brought some meds to me, and it's the middle of the night, and we're sitting talking, and he said, Mom, I don't get it. What happened? You know, you didn't fight. And he said, what happened? Single mom, you raised me by yourself, you ran your own businesses. He said, what happened? You didn't fight. Mm-hmm. And so we talked a little bit more, and, you know, I said goodbye to him, and he left the room, and it was like, oh, my God, did I have a choice in all this? I had just gone along, you know, with the program because they said, oh, you're going to die. I just went along with the program. And I went, oh, my God, did I have a choice? So, but at that point, I was so weak. And for weeks, I had been dreaming about myself walking on a pathway through mm-hmm. the forest. And I do shamanic work, and this is a pathway I use in my shamanic work. And over the last couple of weeks, I had started splitting, and there was two paths, and there was two of me. And now, this night, I dreamt, and I was gone, my peripheral vision, and I knew it was my body and soul splitting. So he left, and I thought, okay, I can leave now. You know, I've been able to say goodbye to my son. And I closed my eyes, and the next thing I know, I'm in light. And that's just, and it's to say light is so not even a drop in an ocean of what it actually was. Mm-hmm. There was a presence there that was all encompassing, all love, all. And I was the presence, and the presence was me. Mm-hmm. And it was, the pain was gone, and I was at complete peace and balance and harmony. And I just felt this connection with everything in the universe. Mm-hmm. And as I'm just basking in this, a voice said, choice. This voice came forward, this presence came forward, and I said, yeah, choice. And I realized what this presence was saying is that if I wanted to, I could go back. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked. So as shocked as I could be in a blissful state. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, really? And I looked down, and I was way above my body. I mean, it was way down. And I looked down, and I saw this little, you know, bump on the bed. And I turned back and I said, choice. And the presence says, you have choice. You always have choice in every moment of the day. Mm-hmm. And so, and in that process, there was a whole, you know, there was a whole happening. I got to see how disconnected I had been from my body. I got to see that led to this state of being of cancer. there was so much that happened during that time. And one of the mandates, so I was given three mandates. It's like, well, if you choose to go back, here's your missions, if you should so choose them. And one was to help dissolve or help teach people to move past the illusion of separation that has harmed us as humanity and our planet, you know, for millennia. The other was to help people understand that their body is a sentient being. And the third was that it was important that I learned to love humankind as much as I love nature and animals. And that one I kind of scoffed. Oh yeah, right. I had a very abusive childhood. And I never had fully, you know, grown to trust humanity, and nature and animals were always there. And that and then the president said again, choice. And it was like, oh. So I looked down, and now I'm about ceiling height, looking down at this gray, bald, you know, skeletal body, and thinking, oh my God, really? Go back to that and the pain. And it's like, whoa. And the president said, well, ask your body. And at that point, I looked down and I realized, oh my God, that body was still alive in its essence. I, the soul, had separated from it, but it had a life of its own. And it was, and at that point, I realized our bodies, even in their decomposition, are alive. They're just going back to the essence of the earth they came from to join as a soulmate with me, the soul. So I looked down and I asked him, I said, well, what do you think? And my body said, yeah, let's go for it. So I thought, okay. All right, so I turned back to the light and just, you know, and just complete utter gratitude and bliss and grace. And I closed my eyes and I thought, okay, I'm either going to move further into the light or I'm going to be back in my body. And I opened my eyes and it was morning and I'm looking around and I am in no pain. The pain's gone. And I'm so weak. I'm so weak. I'm very emaciated, but I try and sit up. And I'm trying to call in to the baby monitor, and my sister comes running in, and I tell her what happened, and we just both started crying, knowing, you know, what this meant. And the other thing is my stomach started rumbling. I was hungry. I was hungry. So over the course of time, I still had one chemotherapy treatment left. And I thought, I'm not going to do it. And I thought, no, I'm supposed to do this. So what I did is there was a couple weeks left before the next therapy. I went online and I couldn't even lift my laptop. I had an Air Mac. I was so weak. So it was propped up with pillows. And I researched the derivation as close as I could get of each one of the chemotherapy drugs I was taking, plus the, you know, myriad of other drugs, you know, from prednisone to Neupogen to, oh my gosh, I was on this whole, you know, grouping of, and each one of them had their own side effects. So I researched them and I found out like where everything came from. And one of the drugs especially really struck me. It was called vincristine, and it used to turn your urine red. And the first time I actually went through chemotherapy and went into the bathroom, it was blood red. And it was like, oh my God, I'm bleeding to death. But I found out it was from the vinca plant. And all my adult life, I've been planting vinca flowers wherever I went. So it was like, oh, I know you. And so as close as I could get to each one of the drugs, I started dialoguing with it. So I knew that this is really important. So when I went to do the chemotherapy, I chose to do it. And even though I was starting to eat again and putting on weight and my hair was starting to grow back. In fact, my oncologist called the infusion center and said, oh my God, are you giving her an infusion or a placebo? And they said, no, we couldn't do that because this could not be happening. But usually my body was so resistant to these toxins, which, you know, if any spills, they have to have a hazmat person come in and clean it up. It used to take 9-10 hours for me to go through the five drugs that they gave me. I took three. And what I realized in that process is that I had turned poison to nectar just by the communication, by dialoguing with it.
And then that's so important. Can you
say that? Yeah.
So important for people to hear.
So important that we have the ability to transmute toxins. And we have, and you know, I started dialoguing with what the remnants, because there still was some remnants of cancer for me to learn from. Mm-hmm. I learned that it was a virus, and I was able to say, leave, and do what I needed to do. But what's so important in all this is my body was the guiding force behind all this. My sentient soulmate body that has a life force, an intelligence, a life plan all of its own, that came and joined with me at conception to have this humankind experience. And then we will separate at some point. But my but this body will go back to the elements of Earth, still alive, still full of life force, back to where it came from to form a human body. And that's when I started realizing, this is my soulmate. All this time, we're searching for our soulmates outside of ourselves, never realizing that our soulmate's right here.
Yeah.
And that we'll always be longing, 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 until we make that reconciliation with our own true soulmate, our body.
Yes. 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 I actually think that it is one of the delusions that we get fed,
yes,
that we need,
yes,
to find our soulmate, that we have one soulmate, yes, that we need a soulmate, yes, in order to be happy or complete.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And we'll never, even if we think we find our, you know, assumed soulmate. So, but I'm still 85 pounds. So I, and I had started putting a little bit of weight at that point, but one of the hardest things I had was eating. So I hadn't eaten in months, and I couldn't even chew, and I didn't have any saliva, and I couldn't get the, you know, juices going. So I thought, well, what can I do? So my body said, hey, cooking shows. And so my sister brought in a TV, and I just started watching the cooking, you know, the network, cooking network.
Yeah.
And my stomach started rumbling, and I started, you know, salivating. And she would rush and cook whatever thing, you know, that was, you know, stirring my juices. And that's how my body, and I thought, oh, isn't that fun? And my body found a fun way, you know, to get my appetite going. So it took a long time. I'm at 85 pounds. But they told me I was going to have a heart defect. I was going to have the bones of a 90-year-old, that I was going to be lucky to survive, and I'd probably come out of it with like some other cancer. Well, 10 years later, here I am, very healthy, strong, healthy bones, healthy heart. And that was another thing. I learned how to heal my heart, and that's a class on itself. I teach people how to connect with their heart to heal the physical heart as well as working with heart chakra. But it took, so I was in a wheelchair for a year, and then I was in a walker for a year, but I was up there, I was walking, I was taking one step at a time, and but all along the way, I was dialoguing with my body in a new way, and, you know, and I turned to hate, and I started to hate my body. It let me down, it got cancer, you know, here I was dying before I felt my time, and really, you know, it was like, this just is,
you know,
not right. So
the funny thing about disease is that it gets even worse because of our response to it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I used to call humanity a cancer on the planet. Well, hello, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy. So I have to say in 10 years, you know, so all the mandates, so I've been teaching people. So I started teaching interspecies communication, which I had done previously, but then it was like, well, wait a minute. I can teach people to dialogue with their animals and their plants and nature, but wait a minute. They are talking to their body. This is going to be incomplete. So I started taking people on a journey to love and honor their body. And I started doing, I do workshops, and I do individual, I call it coaching, it's intuitive healing and coaching combined, to help people open the dialogue with this amazing being that's right here, you know, that we're here together, our soulmate's right here. And when we do that, the longing stops, the longing for anything outside ourselves, because we're complete.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Do they have to have a near-death experience?
No.
To get
no,
to
no,
the
no, 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 no.
Understanding?
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. It's usually, you know, I found that the people I'm working with, usually there's a call from the soul or call from the body, and it's usually not at that state. I tend to have these you know, grand, these extreme lessons, which I now have decided I don't need to do that anymore, to learn, you know, it's like, okay, let's tear that contract up. You know, that's done. And what I realized too is that oftentimes people who've had near-death experience have had one previously, and I remembered one that I had as a newborn. Mm-hmm. So it's not uncommon to have more than one near-death experience. But you don't have to, and that's what I'm teaching now. It's like, you don't have to do that. It's as simple as just opening the dialogue, opening the conversation, mm-hmm. listening, finding a way. So I hope people find a place of meditation and quiet, and where I can help them open the door to that voice of mm-hmm. the body. And people, you know, I've worked with people with cancer, fibromyalgia, MS, all kinds of things, to just, and I don't, I'm just the mediator. I'm just the translator. Mm-hmm. That's all I am. I'm just the guide. And they find that way to dialogue with their body and open that and have that reconciliation and that honoring and that sacred reunion that is just beyond, you know, that's what I learned. And I have to say, over the last 10 years, I have come to love humanity as much as I love nature and animals. I have, and I would never have believed that was possible, but I started to learn who people were through their heart and communicating with people through the heart. And then I saw the good in humanity and the majority of humanity, you know, 99% of humanity is good and yes, and beautiful.
One of the ideas that I've been exploring lately is that the disease that shows up in our physical body is not just a message about our own personal body, but it's a message about what is happening with other people that you may be close with. And it could be a message about the planet. Would you share a little bit more about how you feel the body is connected to the world, to the people, to the life around us?
Oh, absolutely. And that's something that always was comfortable for me. I've written books on feng shui and gynomancy. That's what I call our, you know, the internet or the universal form of feng shui. There is a universal language that we all can tap into. And when we're in that state of dialogue with the universal language, we can talk to anything. We can talk to the chair, you know, in our office. We can talk to anything. We can talk to the planets that are our neighbors. We all have that ability. And when we dissolve that illusion of separation mm-hmm. that's been fostered for thousands of years, you don't go back. It goes from like black and white to technicolor. The world becomes unlimited possibilities and incredibly beautiful and compassionate and loving and kind. You start seeing that in everything around you. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big part of this but I couldn't do it until I connected with my body. Here I was having these great dialogues with people's pets, mm-hmm. but I wasn't talking to my own body. So it was incomplete. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a full experience. We do not have to have a traumatic experience to have this happen. It's as simple as opening the door, opening a dialogue, mm-hmm. just saying yes, mm-hmm. just saying yes. And the body will then our bodies have been waiting their whole lives to have this reconciliation.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so wonderful. This is kind of an interesting question. I think sometimes people want a very exact formula for how to maintain the health of their body and how to heal when they have disease. Is there a blueprint for healing and health?
There is a blueprint, but it's different for each person, because just like each person has a different blueprint of their who they are, their body, physicality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the aspects of their body, but there's the same source that we're all connecting into. So that's the blueprint we're connecting into for healing. Mm-hmm. And again, the body knows what to do. The body knows what we need. The body knows, you know, how to heal itself. But generally we override that. But I want to say, mm-hmm. our bodies are not immortal. They're immortal in that they will go back and be the substance of the earth and that stardust that they came from. Mm-hmm. But the body has its own life plan, its mm-hmm. own intelligence, its own destiny, per se. And so I've worked with people who were terminally ill. And, you know, and I've worked with them, and what they've discovered is their body is done. Their body is ready to go. Mm. And they, the soul, once they're on board with that, the transition happens peacefully, gracefully, easily, without struggling, you know, mm-hmm. without the struggle. And then people are able to pass more quickly, with more ease, more grace. Mm-hmm. So it's not about it's not even about longevity. It's not about immortality. It's about living the life together that we came to live, fully live, you know, in joy and prosperity, you know, all, and prosperity, I mean, a yummy life, you know, all the aspects of a yummy life that include money, but that's just part of it. You know, there's so much more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. So the blueprint is, the blueprint's different for each person, just like each building, each home, you know, coming from architectural background has its own blueprint, but it all has the same source. And so it's by tapping into that source. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I help people do. And I am just the guide. I'm the navigator. They're the ones that actually do the work. I help them find the language. And then I'd step back, because at that point it's their relationship with their body, and it's for their relationship with the disease, whatever it is. And I'm finding more often than not that these diseases are viruses. Mm-hmm. And we can dialogue with them. We can actually have a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And our body has complete knowledge on what to do for every virus that we have. And there's a solution. I use a lot of herbs, and always have. And coming back, I did a lot of juicing, you know, bringing an 85-pound body back. I have no muscle. Mm-hmm. So I had to find ways to, in a healthy way, to bring my body back using. But my body was the guide. I listened. It told me exactly what to eat, when to eat, how to eat, you know, and it didn't make sense. It didn't follow any rules. It wasn't vegan, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't any of those things. It wasn't anything except for what my body was telling me.
Right. Now, some people talk about, in terms of disease, and especially with autoimmune, they use the word the body attacking mm-hmm. itself. Or with things like cancer, they use the word the body getting confused. What do you think about those two words? Mm-mm.
No, the body's never confused. It's where we're confused. It's our mind. It's our mind that's confused, the mental mind. Mm-hmm. Now, if we think through the heart mind, you know, the heart brain, then we think very differently. But I think of our mental brain like a mouse detached from the computer. Mm-hmm. You know, the mouse is not attached, you know, the mouse is not the mainframe. Mm-hmm. You know, and I see the mainframe in our heart. So people, if they can drop down to their heart and ask the same questions, they get a totally different answer mm-hmm. than they do mm-hmm. if they go to the mental mind, which is where most of allopathic medicine resides. And again, I met amazing doctors and nurses and practitioners within the allopathic system. Mm-hmm. It's the system that's flawed, not necessarily the people.
Yes.
But the system is very much a monetary based system. And I learned that very quickly mm-hmm. going through my over $1 million, course of treatment. So
to interject, and I just put this in my latest blog post, is that there's not necessarily anything wrong with money. It's just sometimes we need to think of the big picture and try to acquire it in ways that are really going to be supportive of everyone and supportive of this planet sustaining itself over a long period of time.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And there's money's unlimited. It's energy. You know, mm-hmm. It can't even be hoarded. You know, I mean, that's such a lie and an illusion and delusion in and of itself. Mm-hmm. There's been a real grand, scheme of illusion around money, around so many things on our planet. But the force of the human heart. The other thing I've done for years is I work with whales and dolphins, and they've been my guides for many years. I've worked with especially the North Pacific humpbacks, and since I was a little girl, I've worked with whales and dolphins. In 1999, they showed me. They said, there will be a tsunami of love traveling the planet, and it's going to be driven by the human heart. And they showed me this energy moving across the planet, heart after heart after heart after heart. Mm. And at that point in time, I thought, oh, right. And they said it was going to start in the Middle East. Well, Arab Spring happened, and that's when I saw the beginning of this movement of energy from human heart to human heart across the planet. So I have great hope. Mm-hmm. I have great hope for humanity, and we're waking up, and it can't be denied. And when we look past our media and see the everyday acts of kindness that happen thousands around us at every moment of the day, then we realize that, you know, that the illusion is really the media, you know, it really is the media.
Yeah.
The mainstream media, you know, that based more on fear and those things. But I have great hope now, and I never would have said that. I mean, I call humanity cancer. So, you know, for me to actually really understand the immensity of the human heart and the ability to heal and love and the capacity for compassion is beyond anything that we're ever taught. And so by embracing that, mm-hmm. we heal ourselves. We heal the people around us, you know, by holding that mm-hmm. in our own hearts.
Beautiful, beautiful. I would like to have you share with us your latest projects that you are excited about.
Well, I'm in the process of writing a new book. I've written two books on feng shui and gynomancy. Actually, I've written four, but two are published. And I also am writing a series of stories called The Tales of Whales and Dolphins. From the whales and dolphins perspective, they're sharing their lives. And then I'm also writing a book called Conversations with Heaven and Earth about my near-death experience, but it's a very small part of it. It's really what I learned, what I brought back, the awareness I brought back with me that I'm compelled to share. So, yes. And it shares about this, about the body is soulmate and you know, how I healed, the story of how I healed and the methods that I used and the ability that we have to heal, that our bodies have to heal. And then I'm also conducting workshops, especially here on the West Coast. I just finished one in Portland. Mm-hmm. So I do, and I do coaching intuitive healing sessions. I work with people on an ongoing basis. And so that's, you know, that's my commitment to coming back, was to help yes. my fellow humans.
How could people get in touch with you to find out about your programs or work with you one-on-one?
So they can email me at maureenlbelle@gmail.com or go to my website. It's maureenlbelle.com or they can call me at 503-488-5465. But if they want to read more about my story, they can go to my website. I travel all over the world to teach. So if anyone would like to do a workshop, or I love working with groups. I love working in person with people, do 1 and 2 day workshops, body is soulmate workshops. If anyone's interested, just connect with me and we can see what we can schedule.
Wonderful. You have such a great spirit, Maureen.
Thank you.
A great reflection. It's not just the wisdom that someone shares, but also the energy. And I really appreciated this time with you.
Thank you, Avital. That I do too. I love working with you. It's so nice to meet you.
Yes, you too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Healing Happens podcast. To take your next step towards boundless energy, absolute happiness, and true success, visit www.healinghappensforyou.com, where you can get your copy of the book Healing Happens, or sign up for interactive online courses to put the power of healing and success in your hands. Fatal pronouncements do not have to be your fate. Healing Happens. The content in this podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or prescribing. Listeners should consult their physician on all health matters, especially symptoms that may require medical attention. Using this podcast's information is entirely at the listener's discretion. Healing Happens, Avital P.G. Miller, contributors and publishers of this podcast assume no responsibility for errors, inaccuracies, omissions, or inconsistencies. Any slights of people or organizations are unintentional. Healing Happens and Avital P.G. Miller do not endorse every statement, treatment, and diagnostic approach contained in interviews in this podcast.